It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You read labels on your food because what's in it matters. Dirty Labs brings that same thinking to your dishes. In other words, what touches your food matters too. Dirty Labs is proving that cleaning doesn't have to be so dirty. So they created a dishwasher detergent designed to deliver conventional levels of clean without the toxic chemicals or residue. Because the plates and forks your family eats from deserve the same care as the food you put on them. Fall in love, or it's free, at DirtyLabs.com.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
Welcome back. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Julio Sanchez producing the thing. Drew Nixon and myself, Mac Morey, with you for the next hour. It's a loaded hour for you. We got a lot going on.
Always is.
Always is, man. We got a Hall of Fame discussion to end it off. Eli Manning, controversial as always. We'll talk some college football, a little Dion. Bob Fesco, who I work with every morning on Fesco and Dusty, which you can listen to 6 to 10. I'll be back in your car, wherever you listen, in less than 12 hours. Can't wait for it. He's got an idea about bowl games that we'll get to. So we've got a lot of stuff coming to you this hour. It's going to be a fun time. But for now, as we do every night at 8 o'clock, Drew, it is our out of left field question. And for tonight, this is actually for me. It's a great idea. What's your favorite old school video game? And if you had an old system, what game are you getting? Now be a part of the conversation. 913-586-7965 is the number. 913-586-7965. Like if someone handed you a PS2 or an original Xbox, N64.
Oh, yeah.
What's the game? You're like, I got to get this game. What is the first one that comes to mind?
So for me, Midnight Club. I don't know if you guys remember that game.
I don't know if I do.
Midnight Club, Dove Edition. Midnight Club? You guys didn't play Midnight Club? My God.
I'm looking it up. Woo. Midnight Club. This is a racing game.
It's like Need for Speed, but it was better.
Okay, better than Need for Speed. Need for Speed was pretty badass.
Midnight Club 3 Dove Edition Remix. The Dove Edition is the one
Edition
that you need.
Specifically? Okay. I love that.
I made sure to get me a Cadillac Escalade EXT. You had to get that. I had a Dodge Viper. Come on now. Maybe it's because I love cars. I don't know.
No,
but
that
was my game. I mean, I think there's other options, like Grand Theft Auto, classic GTA, Red Dead Redemption. I don't know. What do you think, Julio?
I mean, let me just say this. Both of you guys are going, like, we're talking old school, and you're bringing up systems that aren't that old school.
Yeah, he's bringing up PS2.
So you're making me feel really old.
You know what,
like, really old. Like, I'm thinking, like, Nintendo.
I was thinking N64.
And that's still not as old as, like, a Nintendo.
Fair. That's fair.
Like, I'm thinking Zelda or, like, the original Mario.
You want, like a joystick or something? Is that what you're talking about?
Man, that's my I don't know how old you think I am, but I am old.
N64 Super Smash Bros. Was live from the 816. That's where I'm coming from. That would be my thing.
About the Atari. That's what he's talking about.
The Sega.
The Atari age, almost.
Dig Dug. Talking about like some Dig Dug action.
A little bit, older. Hey, you know,
the first system that we had was a GameCube, and we had Dig Dug. There was a game with Dig Dug, Pac-Man.
Oh heck yeah!
All of it was like not Galactica or whatever. I don't know if that was the game. You know, the plane shooting game. Anyways, from the 913 MVP Baseball with Manny Ramirez on the cover. It's a classic one.
It's a good one.
That's a very a good one.
Contra. I was a big Contra guy.
Ooh,
do you remember Contra?
Yeah, yeah.
Contra. I don't know if I know that.
Battletoads. Come on now.
PS2 NBA Street. The best. Right.
Great,
NBA
great, Jam. Great no, answer.
NBA one, Jam. One dope one, like the, whatever, not like console, but I don't know what
like
you call it.
Like the actual arcade version?
Yeah, like the arcade version, 100%. NBA Street, by the way, I was listening to, see, this is the random crap that goes through my head. I was thinking of NBA Street the other day, because I have a GameCube, and I still have the GameCube, and we have NBA Street. And I thought of NBA Street, and every now and then I pop up the playlist on YouTube, and there's some classic tunes from NBA Street. It's one of the best games. Crash Bandicoot is another really good one on the PS1.
Crash Bandicoot was fantastic. That's such a good game. Oh, I forgot it. That's nostalgia. Star Fox 64, that's a good one.
That.
Yep. All the original Donkey Kong was a fantastic game.
I mean, if we're going to go a little newer, I was a big Halo guy back in the day when it first came out. Like, we used to...
The intro music to the game is just iconic.
Yes.
Did you have, like, LAN parties and you got a bunch
of... In the dorms with the LAN parties. Oh, yeah. Big time.
See, my older brother would be having those. I was, like, 8 at the time, but I was like, I want to be playing. But I was still playing the game. But then later on, of course, I ended up being a huge Halo nerd. I love Halo.
The Halo intro music is...
Classic. Oh, yeah.
All time. Original Mortal Kombat on Super Nintendo. Mortal Kombat classic. Is just classic in general.
Yeah. Were you guys too old to remember Virtual Boy? Do you remember the gaming system Virtual Boy?
I don't know Virtual Boy.
I don't.
It's gaming
like
system?
It was like the original 3D old red console, like a red console where you wear these goggles that were like...
Oh my gosh, this
You guys
looks...
don't know about Virtual Boy, huh? See, this is what I'm talking about.
No, you...
I'm glad someone on this show right now is is appropriate age. Because...
I'm looking at it now. What the hell is this?
This looks insane. This looks like a grill. Gosh. This looks like this is not like a grill.
3D gaming system.
It looks like a grill.
This looks like I open this up and then slap down some sausage.
Julio, when you said Virtual Boy, I kid you not, that I thought that was like some kid superhero, like Captain Underpants or something like that. Like that's what Virtual Boy was.
Maybe that's where they got the name from.
I don't know, man.
I'm telling you, man, it was before its time. You know.
Man, it does look like before its time.
Because now they have like the Apple Vision or
Oculus or whatever those
Oculus.
Are.
That's what this is. Back in 1995, way ahead of its time.
It's OG.
Yeah, you got a little stand that you can just stand it up and sit down and boom.
This is a question for you both because I've always been a PlayStation guy, so I have limited experience in Halo going over to my friend's house. Sending from the 816 says, favorite Halo 2 weapons combo.
You're not a Halo guy.
For you guys.
Not a big Halo guy.
I like Halo, but I didn't play because I didn't have an Xbox.
You didn't have an Xbox.
I had to go over to my friends' houses to play Xbox.
I'm a strictly Xbox household. Still am to this day.
See, I was a mix. Battle rifle rocket, battle rifle shotgun, because you could kind of cheat with
battle rifle shotgun's a good one. I thought about like a shotgun sniper, but that's the juxtaposition of those gets you into rough. Yeah.
Someone said pinball on Intellivision. Pinball's a classic game.
It's a good one.
If you're talking PC, like backyard baseball, I know that's not like old, but like backyard baseball, backyard football.
You made me think of a good one.
Which is, by the way, coming back, or it is out now.
What's Julio, remastered. you're gonna be mad at me now. What's the PC old PC game where you run your own park?
Oh, is it like Sims Theme Park you're talking about? Tycoon.
Tycoon.
Was dope. Oh, I would go hard on Tycoon. I would play that right now. I love that game.
Create your own theme park. Someone said GoldenEye 007 on the N64.
Classic.
Yeah. Mario Kart.
Mario Kart is
Mario
classic.
Mario Kart. You know what's great? And
I might have to have like you guys over because, again, I have a GameCube. I have GameCube games. I have a Wii. The GameCube games you can put into a Nintendo Wii and play the games. So that's how I play NBA Street or whatever. I have Mario Kart and I have the wheels as well. Like
Mario Kart Party. I'm down for that.
Mario Kart Party.
I'm so in, man. Hit me up.
Drink to that. We used to drink to that.
There are days where I have popped up the like Grand Prix, 32 race, all 32 tracks.
Yeah.
Have like a Mike's Hard in your hand or a cold beverage.
Go to town.
And go nuts and just race Mario Kart.
On that same, you know, level as Mario Party, Yeah. A great drinking, have some friends over, have Super some Smash beverages, Brothers. Super Smash Bros. That can get a little heated, but Super Smash Bros. Is fantastic. It can get going. From the 816 Galactica. Yeah, as we mentioned, great one.
Somebody said Military Madness on the old Turbo graphics system.
That was a good one. That was like a...
I love how you both looked up at Julio, man.
Yeah, we said, Julio, tell us something.
Really, I'm sorry, old, Julio. Man.
Really old. Metal Gear Solid for the original PlayStation people.
That's a good one.
That was one of my favorites.
That is a very good one.
That is a great one. That is a really good one. I'm trying to think. There's a couple others that my brother's
playing. Our arcade games like NBA Jam, NFL Blitz, when you could jump on the players or like hit them afterwards, that was always a fun...
Blitz fan.
Yeah.
No one's saying Madden. You guys not big Madden.
I love
Madden.
Be honest. I love Madden.
Madden 2005. Congratulations. Madden 11. Congratulations. Since then, it sucked. It doesn't deserve to get mentioned in the same conversation, in my opinion. I mean, if you want, if you want to go back to good NFL games, though, like ESPN NFL 2K5 when they had Chris Berman doing the highlights. That was
awesome.
That was a time.
Okay, this is gonna sound bad. But I was a very big Pokemon guy, like the original Pokemon.
No, it's not bad.
Game Boy, like
that's great.
I never got into Pokemon, but I had a lot of friends who loved Pokemon.
Same, a lot of friends. My brothers love it, and my sister, but all love it. I'm like the only one in the family that just hasn't been hit by the Pokemon, you know, whatever it is, virus. But I will get there maybe one day. I'm not against it. I'm not against it at all. Super Strikers on GameCube. Oh my gosh, that was a great one. Super Strikers was a great one. That was a good one from the 913. That is it for our out of left field question. Thanks for playing along, guys, for your old school video game. Again, be a part of the conversation the whole rest of the show. 913-586-7965 is the number to play along. Coming up next, Bob Fesco had a college bowl idea for college football today that I kind of thought was interesting. I don't necessarily hate it. Drew, though, he's a big bowl game guy, so this could be an interesting conversation. A couple ideas at odds here. We'll talk all that and more coming up next right here on After Hours. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
This is like the 2-hour hip-hop show with Julio, man.
I love it, man. It's Jam City here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Listening to After Hours here with you for another 45 minutes. I'll tell you what, Drew, this Thursday night football game, it's heating up.
Ooh.
Okay, so I left you guys on an update a little bit ago, 3-0. You know, Chris Boswell misses a field goal, so Browns come back. They end up getting a field goal. The Browns not making a drive happen. Steelers get it back again. They do get a field goal up 3-0. Browns go down. Jameis looks great. They get a touchdown, 7-3. Steelers are like, all right, we got to come back. Russell Wilson just fumbled, and now the Browns back have it in at least near the red zone. I'm on commercial break, and I didn't see the last play that
AFC
just happened.
AFC North, man.
But yeah, so this game could be happening. We'll talk about this. What would happen tomorrow? What would be the main conversation if Pittsburgh does lose this game? It finally felt like they were starting to kind of elevate into that respect tier of like, hey, they actually are a contender. Let's look at them a little bit differently. And if they lose this game, that will all be immediately wiped away. Russell Wilson questions will resurface. So we'll get into that coming up because that game does seem like it is getting a little bit more nitty gritty. We've got a Hall of Fame discussion as well. But right now I do want to talk a little bit of college football with you boys and with you guys as well. 913-586-7965 is the J Southland Tow Service text line number, 913-586-7965. So I get the pleasure of working with Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens every morning from 6 to 10. You can listen to the show right before Cody and Gold from 10 to 2, and of course, C-Dot on the drive from 2 to 6. We've got a fantastic lineup, and then, my gosh, a bonus of Drew and Mac a couple nights a week.
How crazy is that?
Now, Bob had a take this morning of bowl games feel antiquated. They feel dumb. They don't feel needed. It feels like players have more risk in playing them than benefit right now.
Yeah.
And at first, my jump reaction was like, no, bowls are awesome. I grew up with bowl games. What? But the more he spoke on it, I was like, you know what, Fesco? I'm kind of with you on that as it is structured right now. I want bowl games to mean more. I want it to be more. But how can I really argue with him right now?
Why?
Why what?
Why do you want them to mean more? Especially with the playoffs.
I guess that's a good point. I guess I would like the season Because college football was nice because even if you didn't make the playoffs, which there was never a playoffs before now, there were bowl games, and then they expanded those. So there was a summation to the season. There was a conclusion to a season, even if you had a 7 or an 8-win season. And, you know, for some programs, that would be a feat. That would be something. It could be like a celebration. You get a bowl game. You earned this. It kind of felt like a certificate of like, hey, man, you got into the cool club this year. And now it doesn't feel like a cool club. It feels like, damn it, I got the pass. I got this in the lane. It's jury duty at this point. And we're going to a bowl. We got to play.
I think it's a fair point that you bring up. Now, so Bob is on that spectrum where he's like, you know, in the small percentage of people that feel that way.
Do you think it's small?
I think it's bigger than what the percentage is of myself and Jay Binkley. Shout out to Bink. We are the sickos who enjoy watching the we enjoy watching the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. We enjoy watching the Pop-Tart LA Bowl. The Pop-Tart Bowl. Where, by the way, they're going to have three edible mascots.
I saw that.
Not just one. They're going to have three edible mascots.
I love it.
It was great last season. I watched. So, I'll watch it again. Bink and I'm there with you. I understand.
And to your point, Mac, what you said before, it used to be, you know, when it was the BCS, like the Rose Bowl mattered a whole lot. It wasn't the national championship, but it mattered a whole lot.
It was a huge
you
honor.
You still have the Rose Bowl. I think to Julio's point, it's great when you've got the playoff, but I think for the conversation, I think what Mac's kind of getting at and what Bob was getting at is he's talking about like the Frisco Bowl, you know, and the Fenway Bowl, the Idaho Potato Bowl. To me, I still love this because this is the thing. I think you're right, Mac, and where it is more risky for some players to do that. And I feel, you know, if you want to sit, fine. This is the thing, though, is that to your point, a lot of teams, like Power 5 teams, like Florida, if they go to a bowl game, they might be 6-6. They're not going to like the bowl game they go to, but damn it, they earned the bowl game. Like if KU goes to a bowl game, they earn the bowl game. Like they'll be disappointed they didn't make the playoff because those are the expectations, but it's still an honor, I think, to be able to play postseason football, as well as if you look at the players sitting out, you look at, I think, say, first and second round picks. That makes sense that they're sitting out, sure. You know who was a second round pick? Sky Moore.
Ugh.
And you know where he went to? Western Michigan. Western Michigan is never going to a college football playoff. They are never going to go to a college football playoff. So for them to get an 8-win season, a 9-win season, is actually a really big deal.
Yeah.
For
it is.
A lot of players. So take the situation. Say Sky Moore sat out. It matters for the coaches. It matters for the program. The school gets more money for being in the bowl game, for winning the bowl game. It matters a lot to the smaller schools, I think, which is where I think you can appreciate bowl season. And at the same time, though,
But if Sky Moore, make it worth for me.
So you're saying that you should get a fee, or you should be the bowl, you should get paid from the bowl or whatever, because I don't think the school should pay for it.
I get a piece of the pie. You need me?
I have no problem with that, because you're saying you need a reason for the players to be enticed to risk, quote unquote, their professional career by playing in a bowl game that's not a college football playoff game.
I mean, yeah, if I'm Sky Moore, I'm legitimately risking millions of dollars by playing in what is, in all, a meaningless, irrelevant bowl game to my career.
So I do wonder, and I think I
Sky Moore is a great example, by the way.
Along with the same lines of the whole like streaming thing, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't want it to happen, but I wonder if it will. If you are Ashton Jeanty, do you play in this playoff game?
I'll be honest.
It is a college football playoff game. Mac, they are right now favored to be in the college football playoff. But if you're Ashton Jeanty and you go into that game, everybody thinks you're going to lose. You can obviously prove people wrong. But is it wrong if he says, you know what? I know it's a playoff game, boys, but I'm looking to the NFL. I don't think he would do that because he loves his teammates. And he didn't seem like that in terms of a character guy. But how far are we down the line where, say, if Georgia's the 11 seed, they probably could win the whole thing and make a run. But if you have to play an extra, what would be 1, 2, 3, potentially 4 games, do you want to do that? I don't want it to happen. I love college football. 249 Miles of College Football podcast is out.
A just new released one now. Yesterday. Bang.
A new one just came out. But I'm scared that we get to that point where even the incentive is enough for these players where, hey, I can get 1K, I can get a ban for playing in this bowl game, or I can wait and be guaranteed to be a top 5 pick in the draft where I know I'm going to get guaranteed money that's a whole lot more. I'm worried that we potentially get to that point from the 480. By necessity, anytime you include a postseason, it devalues the regular season. College football was better when it was more about just winning your conference instead of trying to make a super league where every top team had to play each other.
I disagree.
I disagree.
Because so this is the thing, Julio. You and I have talked about this individually. So for me, I think for the passionate college football fan, I kind of agree with this. You're a casual college football fan where you enjoy the top tier matchups. You love the expanded college football playoff because it gives you more of a reason to pay attention to more college football games.
Yeah, and I would actually flip what you said in the fact that I think you're more in the minority than in the majority.
Yes, I agree. He keeps saying that. I agree. I think I am the majority.
I think you are more of a college football purist.
Yeah, yeah.
And you appreciate the game no matter whether it's MAC or whatever the case may be.
Yeah,
whereas the general public, I could care less Western Kentucky versus
you don't care about
East Carolina. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Why the hell would I want to watch that? And being a bowl game, especially, and to the point of, you know, college football and whether Genty should play or not. Yes, I would think so, because at least he has a shot now to get to the national championship. I mean, at least you have a shot. Whereas if you're going into the Pop-Tart Bowl, you're not really playing. What's the point of him playing in a Pop-Tart Bowl? You're not winning a national championship. Then I could see you wanting to sit out. But if you have a shot, whether it's a large percentage or a small percentage to get to that national championship, you still have a shot. Why wouldn't you want to do it? I mean, that gives him an incentive to actually play.
I think that point is fair. I think which to me, and again, and this is where I think it's good dialogue, because it's hard for me to come back with anything. Like when Leonard Fournette was really the first one to do this, he was like, I'm sitting out a bowl game.
Sat out.
It was kind of crazy. It's like, really, you're going to do that? But you understand it from the individual aspect of it. And maybe that's, again, just the college football purist. I love the sport so much. I think to the texture's point regarding the conferences, Lane Kiffin said, I think it was this week on like Monday or Tuesday, he was asked, he's the head coach at Ole Miss, for those of you who don't know. And he said it almost is more of a blessing to not be in the SEC title game. Because Agreed. If you're in a spot where you don't make the SEC title game, if you lose, you're at risk potentially of being kicked out. So you almost don't want to be in your conference title game. That's what I was scared of most, I think, regarding this, because I think the expanded playoff is good in terms of conversation. The sport's never been more popular for the casual fan than anybody else.
Well, and I also to the point of the texter about it watering down kind of the regular season portion of it, I disagree with that too, only because I feel like college football took off this year for the general public of paying attention because you care about those 12 teams that they may or may not get in the league. Whereas before, you only had the top four teams that were maybe top six teams that would generally cycle in and out of those national championship games. Or again, at least it gives some of those outside teams a shot at the national championship, and it encourages you to watch the regular season because it does matter.
I think there is a balance though in it where I think to that point, every game mattered most because there were only four spots on the line. Like you had every game.
But it was between 16.
Sure. Where now I think you still kind of get some mulligans in a way. Like Alabama, Georgia, they get some mulligans. Again, their job is to pick the 12 best teams. It's up to the committee to consider
That's
all
not
of
their
those.
Job.
It's up to the committee to decide. It's supposed to be who the 12 best teams are, but
it's
again,
not, though.
It's not based on the way that the format goes.
Boise State's getting a bye.
Where I do think...
what the hell is happening?
Where I do think, and this is the thing, I don't know if you automatically include the teams that get into the conference title game, because I don't think you can do that. But to the texture's point, this is the thing that I was scared of the most, because conference championships, they don't mean anything for if you win or you lose, it should matter. But we're at the point now where if you're valuing it as we'd rather not be in the conference title game, it kills a part of the sport that has always been very important and always very good. And I just college football is changing a lot, but I think that there's a way that you have to keep the conference title game mattering more, because again, this is a scenario that I brought up, and this is kind of why I didn't care for the big expansion, because if you make it to a conference title game and you win, you get the bye. But if you don't get, but along with the bye, would you rather have the bye or would you rather have that momentum continuing? Because again, there are no on-campus games if you get that bye. So you're not hosting a game and you have a week off, where you could host a game, win it, and have momentum going into a neutral site game. To me, I would almost rather maybe not have the bye
Wow.
In one case.
No, you're right.
In a way, because you
really?
If you're hot, you keep that momentum, and it's a neutral site game where, look, if Boise State, or that's a bad example.
Yeah, Boise State's losing.
No, Notre Dame's playing Alabama. They're the 8-9 game. If Notre Dame beats Alabama, they go and they play, I don't know who it would be. I don't have the bracket in front of me. But they go and they play whoever. It's not a road game, even though the other team is higher seeded than you. So it almost, you're at more of a benefit almost at potentially of hosting that game on campus and then going on to play somebody else in a neutral site environment.
There's kinks to work out within the system. I think they went in the general, I think they swung a little too far going 12 teams. I thought it should have been eight. But there's no going back now. But there's definitely kinks to work out, but I like where it's heading.
Six was my perfect number.
To circle back to the main point, though, that like you brought up with Bob, I think it's something that's needed because name, image, likeness is important. The players should be able to get a piece of that pie because of the money, like the TV revenue. Everybody watches those games. They should absolutely be able to get a little bit of money from the bowl because the schools can't pay them. Get some money from the PlayStation Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl or whatever it is, whatever sponsor.
These are the ones moving the needle from the 913. Still get some kind of exposure. Look at Pacheco. I don't know. Pacheco didn't play in a bowl game at Rutgers.
Yeah, but I think that...
You know what I mean? So I don't really know what the 913 is going there.
If you get the exposure, though, where if you... Again, if you are a third, fourth, fifth round guy, it's another shot to prove yourself a little bit on a quote-unquote bigger stage. I think that's the point that the text is saying, which I like it. Somebody else from the 913 said, sorry, Drew, you always want the bye week. No exceptions.
You don't need to say sorry to Drew. You're right, 913. That's the right thing.
I understand where you're coming from. But if you're Miami, actually, it's a bad example because their home field sucks.
Might be a good example then.
If you're Boise State, you get a bye, but you're not hosting a game on campus, and you probably have to play against like Ohio State or somebody else. I'd rather keep the momentum and still be hot than get an extra bye week because to me, I understand from the health aspect, from all of it. There is a case. I get why you want the bye. I think there's a case that you just want to keep that thing going and you want to keep on playing. Because in all honesty, too, if you don't play in the conference title game and you're a 9 seed, you already get a bye.
Yeah, I think you want the rest.
By the way, that was Barbershop who said you always want the bye. I don't know,
you're right, Barbershop.
I don't know.
Barbershop's right. Hey, that's a rare hit for Barbershop. No, I'm just kidding. That's a good take, though. You always want the bye. You want that rest. You want that prep time. And that's really what I'm thinking
about.
Yeah,
but do you want...
Momentum is so, like, come on. What are we talking about here?
But to me, I know that momentum, I think, in college football, I think, because the bye is not as important to me as an NFL playoff bye is. I don't think it's as important.
I'm just picturing
what they need to do to make this conversation go away is make two rounds of on-campus games, which they should be anyways, because neutral site games suck. Neutral site games ruin college football a little bit.
Bring that momentum, Drew, to Oregon. Please bring that momentum and see what Dan Lanning says to you. He's going to say, yeah, but shove it up your face.
But it's not at Oregon. The game's going to be in Pasadena.
Wherever. Bring it to wherever. Like, he's not going to care. Cool. Bring the momentum. You guys are hot. Nice.
Do you have the bracket pulled up right now?
I do.
Who would play Oregon if they win?
Alabama or Notre Dame?
I'm going to be honest with you. Alabama would love to play Oregon. I think Alabama, I'll be honest with you. If they can get a really good win over a really good Notre Dame team, which, again, yes, they lost to Northern Illinois, but damn it. There are some teams that like Alabama lost to Vandy. Not a great loss. If Alabama beats Notre Dame, they have more momentum going into that Oregon game where let's say Oregon win, they beat Ohio State again, but they get the extra bye. I don't know if I want to face an SEC team when they're hot coming off a win and I got an extra bye week to just
get healthy,
watch film
and game plan.
To me, I think it matters.
And prepare? I don't know. The momentum thing in all sports just kind of seems so overrated to me sometimes. I'm not saying it's not real. It exists. And it's existing right now in the Thursday night football game we're watching. Because Cleveland Browns have the momentum. 10-3 up against Pittsburgh. They are exposing them. We're going to talk about that.
We did go long in the segment. I apologize for getting a little bit...
Exactly.
Shout out to the person who said they agree with me because they played college sports in the 70s. keep the momentum going, baby.
And way to go, 913. We got another text from the 913. Browns got the lead. Get the ball to start. after the half, and they're going to win this ball game. You might be Jameis, right, 913. You might be right. Jameis Winston, Kevin Stefanski, and this crew, they've got the momentum. It's a cold AFC North nitty-gritty battle. We're going to get into what this could mean for the NFL landscape, for kind of the narrative of the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot to talk about. A team that was just now being crowned, it all could come crashing down. We'll talk about it coming up next right here on 96.5 The Fan. This is After Hours on your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Keeping it grooving here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. It's called After Hours. That's the show. We're here with you 2 hours, sometimes multiple nights a week, just like this week. Had you last night, talked a lot of Chiefs this night, doing the same thing. Talking some Thursday night football with you right now. Julio Sanchez producing it, Drew Nixon, myself, Mac Morey. Another 20 minutes with you. Right now.
Barbershop, man. Mac Daddy or Daddy Mac, he just sent me a text message with a Mac Daddy.
Mac Daddy.
Oh my gosh. Shout out to Barber.
Yeah, Daddy Love Mac. It. I don't know like Daddy Mac. Mac Daddy though?
Daddy Mac sounds a little
Daddy Mac could
agreed.
Go the wrong way.
Agreed.
that could get into a direction that I want to go to, but Mac Daddy I'm all in on and I love it. And we love Barbershop here at 96.5 The Fan as well. Thursday night football right now. Browns are up. It's halftime. It's 10-3.
AFC North, man.
We talked about on the show this morning, these games just are different. There's really not a division like it. The NFC North would be the one that's close, but the AFC North is superior. There's no other division in football where we say 8-2 versus 2-8 and go, man, I'm intrigued. The AFC North does that year in and year out, no matter what combination of the four teams it is. It just feels like it's going to be a fun, extremely intense 3 hour grind it out watch. And that's what we're getting right now at halftime. 10-3, Jameis and the Browns up. Now, the Steelers have been a team for the last couple of weeks that have been vying for everyone's approval, just trying to get into the spotlight and say, hey guys, we're here. We're real. We're 10 weeks in now, 8-2. We're leading this AFC North. You guys keep wanting to crown the Ravens. They keep losing games. We just beat them. And finally, everyone says, you know what? They just beat the Ravens. Fine. Fine, Tomlin, you're going to make us do it. This defense is damn good. It seems like you fixed Russell Wilson. George Pickens is doing less screaming and complaining, doing more catching and scoring now. And now they might lose to the 2-8 division rival Browns on a Thursday night football game. What would this do?
Well, Mike Tomlin has never won a Thursday night game.
True. He's never rode Thursday night game.
Thank you.
Road Thursday night.
Thank you for that correction.
Yes. No. I had to correct myself earlier on that. That's the only reason I knew that.
This is trending in that direction as well. But I think for what would it do for the Chiefs? It gives them. I don't even want to say extra leeway, but again, it gives them.
It does. Absolutely. We're Browns fans here tonight, guys.
It gives them more leeway. Where you just you look at what, even looking ahead to what the Bills have. Obviously, the Bills would have the tiebreaker if it comes down to them in Kansas City. But the remainder for the Bills, they've got the 49ers, then they've got the Rams, then they've got the Lions. Hey, there's some tests still to go for the Buffalo Bills, just as the same as there is for the Kansas City Chiefs. So it gives them a little bit more wiggle room. I don't know in terms of the can Pittsburgh win a playoff game. I don't think this does anything for me because of what you said earlier in it being the AFC North, where it's the AFC North.
So this won't change your outlook on this team?
No, because for whatever reason, as you said, there's ugly games all the time in the AFC North, and the Browns could win this game, and I don't feel any differently about the Pittsburgh Steelers than I would have earlier, and maybe that's just because I've been following a team my whole life that's in the AFC North, and I'm used to these sort of games, but to me, it doesn't. I mean, the Browns beat the Ravens. It doesn't change how we look at the Ravens, I don't think, enough to... I mean, you had them as a team that's most likely to win the Super Bowl, still inside the top five. So I don't think it does enough in terms of ultimate judgment right away for the Steelers.
I mean, I'm with you. Although I will say I didn't really have that much faith in the Steelers to begin with.
As Super Bowl contenders, I think
they're a little bit of a paper tiger.
They might be able to win a playoff game, though. I don't know if I would take it away from them.
Depending on the matchup, it's certainly possible.
If they play Houston, Julio, are you taking Pittsburgh? Or are you taking Houston? I'm taking Pittsburgh to win the game.
Pittsburgh or Houston?
Where
really
are they
close,
playing?
Man. If, that'd be great. Where is this? This is at Houston.
If it's at Houston, say it's 4-5.
If it's at Houston, I'd probably go.
I think I'd go Houston.
I'd go Houston.
You still think so? Okay.
If it's in Pittsburgh, I'd absolutely go Pittsburgh.
Different discussion. Houston is kind of built for a playoff run, and we can get to that. And they can run the ball. They have a fantastic pass rush. They're well coached. That's a team that actually kind of makes sense in January. But this Pittsburgh team, I agree with you. I didn't have them ever in my top five. I got a lot of flack for it on the Max Pack from week to week. Because where are the Steelers? Because I don't see them winning three playoff games in a row.
I don't think they have the offensive firepower to keep up with some of these other teams.
I completely agree. Right now, Russell Wilson has been sacked four times, twice by Myles Garrett. He's 9-for-11 for 140-something, zero tuds, zero picks. He does have that fumble, crucial fumble, that gave the Browns the lead there. But at the end of the day, I'm not trusting Russell Wilson be on the road twice in the playoffs for a whole thing. So I guess all of our opinions aren't really going to change much tonight.
No.
About the Steelers being, I guess it depends on the criteria.
Okay.
Of them being a Super Bowl winning team, I don't think they were ever in that conversation like Julio.
Fair enough.
In terms of can they make the playoffs, it doesn't change anything to me. In terms of them winning a playoff game, it so doesn't change anything to me. Because it's the way that the Steelers play to me. Barber asked what the AFC North win-loss record is against the AFC West in terms of that conversation. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week on Cody and Gold, is what division is actually... Is the AFC North really one of the best divisions in all of football? You could say yes, but in terms of head-to-head, potentially...
Browns fumble, Steelers pick it up right at the 25 as the Browns have a massive play into the red zone. That we're at 13.
Right as we're bragging, right?
Exactly. Right as perfect we're talking about Jameis. Yeah, he scrambles out, finds a wide open receiver, and just gets pelted in the middle of the field. That was Cedric Tillman getting a hit there in the middle of the field, fumbling right as he enters the red zone. So Steelers getting that ball back with a chance to tie.
For that conversation, the Browns are 0-2 currently against the AFC West. The Cincinnati Bengals in games against AFC West opponents are 1-1. The Baltimore Ravens, in regards to AFC West opponents so far this season, they lost to the Raiders. They beat the Broncos.
So 1-1.
So they also are 1-1. And then, of course, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers, whose record against AFC West teams this year is they beat the Broncos and they beat the Chargers.
So they're 2-0. So right there you are.
Pretty much it's 500.
4-4.
It's 4-4 right there. Yep. That is 4-4 between those divisions, obviously. The Chiefs will see the Steelers for a massive matchup on Christmas Day, which you can watch on Netflix.
If they lose to the Browns, do you look at the division differently in terms of do you think the AFC West is actually the one of them? Because right now there are three AFC West teams in the playoffs. Do you think that the AFC West is actually the best division of football? I don't think so. But I think there's your argument, is there's currently three AFC West teams that are in the playoff picture right now. If the season ended today.
The AFC West is really good division. I struggle with this because I think Denver's way overrated, and you know how I feel about Bo Nix. This gets personal. I think he's overrated. I think that team's overrated. I think that team's still fake to me. I don't care how that game against the Chiefs went a couple of weeks ago. I think that was an F game from Kansas City in the best possible case for Denver. So I'd still say the AFC North is better to me.
You know, if the Bengals would hold up their end of the bargain, it would definitely be the AFC.
Yeah,
North,
thanks, Drew.
Drew, you know.
I'm sorry, the Ravens also lost to the Chiefs as well. So the Ravens are 1-2 against
AFC
West teams. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at other teams outside. The Bengals also lost to the Bengals are 1-2. They beat the Raiders, lost to the Chiefs as well. So technically, they have a worse record. They have the AFC North has a losing
record. That whole division down.
Against the West.
It's fine. We like to see it.
Yeah, the only team without a win against the AFC West AFC North is the Bengals.
If we're taking shots, it's fine.
If we're talking head-to-head, then the AFC West is a better division.
Yeah,
but it just doesn't sound right because...
I feel icky saying that.
No, I don't like it.
It almost feels gross.
No, because...
To you guys.
Okay, well, I guess it depends on how you do it. Okay, so let's just go through. Okay, the Chiefs are better than the Ravens. So the Chiefs win the one, okay? Then the second would be what? The Chargers versus Pittsburgh? Who are you taking? I'm taking L.A.
I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, probably.
So let's call it a wash.
It's a wash.
Let's call two a wash. Yeah. Three, you've got Denver and you've got Cincinnati. Who are you taking? This is the question. It's a huge question.
Cincinnati.
Well, we know who.
Cincinnati or Denver?
Oh, I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah, okay. I was like, he just glitched. Yeah. I was like, we know he's taking Julio.
Well, the way you were saying it was almost 3 and 6 seed, and I was like, the Bengals are not the 3 seed.
So these are the threes in each division.
Yeah, yeah.
With the Broncos defense, I probably would go Broncos, honestly.
So I guess with going that way, it would be the AFC West would be better. Because, I mean, cool, if you want to say the Browns are better than the Raiders, all right, cool, who cares? That doesn't really matter. That's irrelevant. So I guess if you go by that logic, I would say Cincinnati over Denver. I would be in the minority, but we will see that matchup. What is that? Week 17, week 16. That's a playoff game. I said that a couple weeks ago on Fesco and Dusty. Yeah. That is the first playoff game of the season. Cincinnati versus Denver. Let's go, Drew.
The Bengals have to beat,
they've got to win their other games. Yes. They got to beat Pittsburgh next week.
God, I hate AFC North games, man, because of this exact reason right here. Like, Steelers fans have got to be just cringing right now. Like, this is the AFC North. I agree with you. I think it is in a way, Chargers-Bengals was a playoff game. That's like test one of two. Like, the second test is that Broncos game. Barbershop is feeling himself over here. He's like, exactly, Barbershop preaching.
He's feeling
himself a little bit.
And I believe the Browns just got a massive stop. I don't know if it was third and short or fourth and short. Julio, did you catch that?
I didn't.
By the way,
either way, both teams walking off the field.
This is also, real quick before we go to break,
yes,
this is why everybody has said all week long that, and even last week, that the Panthers game would be the one that is the trap game. To me, it is the Cleveland Browns Chiefs game. That is because the Browns have Myles Garrett.
I like it.
And I know that the Browns might have no motivation.
I like it.
But if there is one concern, we talked about the left tackle position. You're going to have to go against one of the best pass. And I know, of course, the Steelers are a good game, but that's not a quote-unquote trap game. The Browns, to me, the way that Jameis can play, again, he's against the Chiefs defense, say what you want about that. But the Browns defense has been shaky at times, but they have one of the best pass rushers fundamentally in the entire league. And that one, I would be a little bit more worried about that one than any other game, if I were the Chiefs, in terms of them not, quote-unquote, showing up ready
kind
to go.
Kind of being a trap. Yeah.
Being that trap game where that game's going to be ugly because the Browns, just for this exact reason. I know it's AFC North and it's not, the Chiefs are not an AFC North team, but that game is going to be ugly because the Browns are going to make it an ugly football game.
You hear from 10 to 2 on Cody and Gold every day. That is Drew Nixon with the great takes. Julio Sanchez producing the thing. Myself, Mac Morey, with you for another 10 minutes here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back in here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs. They got a game this Sunday. Pre-game starting at 9 right here. Our guys, Kling, Danan Hughes, Dan Israel, the man himself, Mitch Holtus, they'll all be here on the FM dial as well as 106.5. But listen right here, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. NFL Hall of Fame. We got just a couple of minutes before we get out of here on After Hours with Julio Sanchez and Drew Nixon and myself, Mac Morey. Real quick, Eli Manning, he's the headline of this Hall of Fame semifinalist, these inductees, this new class coming in. I believe only 8 get in. I think that's it. So Eli Manning's going to be the headline here, real quick. Cause again, we got less than 2 minutes. Eli Manning, Hall of Famer, Drew, yes or no?
Yes.
Reluctantly. Yes.
Love it.
Reluctantly. Yes.
Love it. Can I get a quick why? Drew.
He has 2 Super Bowls. He's also 11th all time. He's more passing yards in his career than John Elway does. He's in.
Yep. 2 Super Bowls. And, he's done a lot outside of football to bring attention to the game.
Love that.
Ooh, you think that actually is a,
I do think that
reason?
Has something to do with it. There is no doubt. It should.
That's the way
and
the Baseball
should.
Hall of Fame would be.
You cannot tell the story of football without Eli Manning or without the Mannings in general, and I believe that matters in a Hall of Fame discussion. You're not talking about NFL in the 21st century without mentioning Eli Manning. You can't do it because you're going to bring up Tom Brady, the GOAT, and you're going to bring up, man, he went to 3 Super Bowls. Someone's going to ask, dang, one of those ones he lost twice to the Giants. Dang, was it the same guy? Who was that guy? You're going to have to bring that up. Well, let me tell you, son, sit down.
This guy, most iconic moments, man.
I mean, the catch. Mario Manningham down the sideline. That was a hell of a dart.
Is Joe Flacco a Hall of Famer?
No.
Because Joe Flacco beat Brady to get to the Super Bowl. I'm just telling you.
No.
I also agree.
Didn't do it on the biggest stage.
Heck. heck of a show.
And he only did it once. It was a heck of a show. We had so much fun, guys. This is great.
Blast.
Thanks to Julio Sanchez back there on the keys, producing the thing. Always have fun with him. Drew Nixon, go follow him on Twitter. Drew B. Nix.
Oh, thanks for the shout out.
Go follow my self on Twitter as well.
Follow Mac. Get him to 1K.
Yes, we're almost to 1K. Mac J. Morey, 25. No Fantasy Football Sunday this Sunday. So make sure tweet at me your Fantasy Football Sunday questions. I will answer. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. See me and Julio
down by the schoolyard. You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
You read labels on your food because what's in it matters. Dirty Labs brings that same thinking to your dishes. In other words, what touches your food matters too. Dirty Labs is proving that cleaning doesn't have to be so dirty. So they created a dishwasher detergent designed to deliver conventional levels of clean without the toxic chemicals or residue. Because the plates and forks your family eats from deserve the same care as the food you put on them. Fall in love, or it's free, at DirtyLabs.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today. This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.